The reading today is Acts chapter 4 from verses 23 to 31, which is on page 1096 of the Church Bible. On their release, Peter and John went back to their own people and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said to them. When they heard this, they raised their voices together in prayer to God. "Sovereign Lord," they said, "you made the heaven and the earth and the sea and everything in them. You spoke by the Holy Spirit through the mouth of your servant, our father David. Why do the nations rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth take their stand and the rulers gather together against the Lord and against his anointed one. Indeed, Herod and Pontius Pilate met together with the Gentiles and the people of Israel in this city to conspire against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed. They did what your power and will had decided beforehand should happen. Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform miraculous signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant, Jesus." After they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Lucy, very much. Do keep that reading open. That would be hopefully very helpful for you as we go along. Okie doke. Well, you've heard of Wordle, I expect. But have you heard of Hurdle, spelt like that? And what happens in this game is you get the beginning of a song to listen to, and you've got up to six goes to guess it, and with each failed guess, they give you a bit more of the song to work it out. So would you like to have a go together now? Okay, I'm going to do it for you. Okay, I just got to concentrate on this one. Okay, so it goes like this. Dun, dun, dun. What was that? Oh, amazing, amazing. Okay, I'll do a bit more for you. So it goes like this. Dun, 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 dun. Bum, bum. Yep. And then pressure pushing down on me, pressing down on you, no man asked for. That was very impressive. I thought no one would get it on the first go. Okie dokie. What a song. We can all identify with it, can't we? God's people under pressure. That's what our reading's about. But I've got another game, actually, before we look into it. So that was the first game, Hurdle. The second game is, which animal are you most like when under pressure? Have a think. Which animal are you most like when under pressure? And I'm thinking about being under pressure because of faith, persecution even. Are you like an ostrich? You prefer to put your head in the sand and just deny there's a problem. Or like a hedgehog? Keep still, curl into a ball, and put up the defences. Or like a rhino, in response to pressure, get angry and charge back. Or none of these are perfect responses, are they? What about a lion? Proverbs 28, verse 1 says, "The wicked flee, though no one pursues, but the righteous are as bold as a lion." What's the secret to being as bold as a lion when under pressure? Well, our reading today shows us that the key to this is praying together with other believers. Let's do that now. Let's pray, shall we, as we look at this passage. Heavenly Father, help us to know how to respond together when we are under pressure. We pray this in Jesus' name for your glory and for our good. Amen. Okay, well, many of you will be fully persuaded of the importance and the joy of praying together, but others are not so sure. Some would say there's nothing special about praying together. Why should it be any better than when we pray by ourselves? What difference does it make? And remember, a few weeks ago, if you were here, Jesus actually was very keen on us going into our rooms and praying to our Father in secret. And he warned us, didn't he, of some dangers of praying together. Others have a really high view of God's sovereignty. Did you notice in our reading in verse 28, it said, "They did what your will and power had decided beforehand should happen." So if God has already decided the future, then they say, there's no point in coming together to pray. What difference can it make? Others, though, are not so convinced of God's power. Prayer doesn't seem to make any difference. In fact, meetings just for prayer can, in their experience, be lacking in vitality, dull even. It's no wonder that many churches find that prayer meetings are the most poorly attended. So, what does God have to say to us on this? Well, today, we have an example to learn about prayer under pressure. We're early in the book of the Acts of the Apostles. After Pentecost, the church is active and effective in sharing the good news of the risen Christ. But then there is a counterattack by the forces of evil. And Peter and John are arrested for proclaiming Christ, and they're commanded to shut up. And their lives are threatened. But the Sanhedrin, the Jewish ruling council, can't decide how to handle them. And so they get released with many threats not to do it again. Well, we pick things up in chapter 4, verse 23. Have a look down there. And how do the apostles respond to the threats of the Sanhedrin? What do they do? Verse 24. Well, they go straight to their own people. And they report everything. This reminds us, doesn't it, of the vital importance of our Christian fellowship. We need to support one another. We're going to read in Proverbs after Easter, as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. We won't be bold left to ourselves. And then, do you see, they pray together. This reminds us of the vital importance of the church getting together to pray. It's not an afterthought. It's their first reaction to trouble. When under pressure, or when there's a big decision to make, we need to learn from their example. Get together and seek the Lord's face in this. I was reminded this week, as preparing, of a book by the Dutch missionary behind the Iron Curtain, Brother Andrew. When the going gets tough, the tough get praying. But what to pray? What does the early church teach us about how to pray under pressure? Well, here's the first thing we see. Pray together to a powerful God. They begin in their prayer in verse 24, Sovereign Lord. The Greek word is despot. It's not commonly used to address God, so it's significant because it emphasizes his absolute power. In this situation of persecution, he's the one in charge, not the Sanhedrin. And what do they say to this powerful God? Look again at 24. You made the heaven and the earth and the sea and everything in them. In other words, everything that there is made by him. So when under pressure, they remind themselves how big God is. And with our greater knowledge today, and from the news in this last week, if you noticed, we might say, Lord, you even made Earendel, the most distant star ever spotted, 12.9 billion light years away. And Lord, you made the most minute subatomic particle and forces, this thing that they've called the mysterious minuscule W boson. Lord, how immense and powerful you are. When under pressure, pray together to a powerful God. And then second, they teach us, pray together to a proclaiming God. Now, I could say to a speaking God, but proclaiming keeps all the P's. Not only is he all powerful, but he has spoken. prayer. Talking to him is a response to the fact that he's already spoken to us. And it's interesting that they spend four verses here talking about God and what he said, and then just two verses asking for something. And this is often a typical pattern in biblical prayers. Here, look at verse 25. They turn back to Psalm 2. You spoke by the Holy Spirit through the mouth of your servant, our father David. And then they quote the psalm. And it's all about God establishing his anointed one, his chosen king on his throne. And how the rulers of the world gather together against him. They want to throw off the rule of God's chosen king. And if you know the psalm, do you remember how God responds? He laughs. And then he rebukes them. And he warns them, his anointed one will rule, whether they like it or not. And the wise thing to do is to submit to him, to not face his wrath. But they quote Psalm 2 because something similar is happening again. The psalm is prophetic. Look at verse 27. You see, what happened to King David is a pattern to what happens to his greater son, King Jesus. Old Testament prophecy often works like this. There's a pattern, and it gets repeated in a bigger way and fulfilled in Christ. And so verse 27, Herod, Pilate, the Gentiles, and the people of Israel conspire together against Jesus, God's anointed. Everyone, it seems, turns against him. And it didn't stop with Jesus' death. The young church faces a continuation of this gathering against Jesus. It's just as Jesus said, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you also. And that still applies to us, the church, today. But God is sovereign. Do you see that in 28? They did what your power and will had decided beforehand should happen. This is one of those amazing sentences in Scripture where human decision and will is described alongside God's sovereign decision and will. It was a human rebellion against God. But at a deeper level, it was God's decision, Christ's death for our salvation. So, when under pressure, pray together to a powerful and a proclaiming God. Well, after reminding themselves and God of who he is and what he said, finally they bring their request. But before we look at it, let me ask you, if you were under pressure, great pressure like this, what would you ask God for? Have a moment to think about it, and then if you'd like to, chat with a neighbor. What would you ask God for in a situation like this? Sorry to interrupt. Let's see what the early church did. When under pressure, pray together to a powerful God, pray together to a proclaiming God, and finally, pray together for power to proclaim. It fits exactly, doesn't it? Pray in line with God's nature and will. That's what Nigel was teaching us last time from John 15. So listen again to their prayer, verse 29. Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. What don't they pray? Consider their threats and judge them. Even though Psalm 2 says those who reject the Messiah will be judged, it would have been legitimate for them to say that, but they didn't. Nor do they pray, consider their threats and save us. That would be my instinct. Nor consider their threats and you do something, since you alone are sovereign and we can do nothing. No, they pray, enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Now, they've already spoken with great boldness, and it's landed them in hot water. So they ask, amazingly, for strength to do it again, that their courage is renewed. And this just reminds us, doesn't it, that Christian courage It's something that God gives. To be courageous, we need the power of the Holy Spirit. And again, do you see here how God's sovereignty on the one hand is not divorced from human activity? It's not an excuse for doing nothing, the fact that God's in charge. In the Bible, God's sovereign control over human affairs encourages God's people to action. Because he has a sovereign plan to get the good news all over the world, we can pray that he will empower us to play our part in that plan. And then see what the prayer adds in verse 30. God, continue to perform not judgments, but healings and signs through the name of Jesus. After Jesus ascended, God shows that Jesus is still at work by his apostles, doing the same wonders that Jesus did. So they pray, Lord, please continue to bear witness to your word through your mighty works. When under pressure, pray together for power to proclaim. This is what they are most concerned about. They're worried that the pressure will make them silent. I was listening to a video interview just 2 weeks ago. I just stumbled across it with this Scottish theologian called Sinclair Ferguson. He's probably not well known to many of us down here, but he has had a significant ministry in the US. And in this video, members of the public were sending in their questions. And one of them asked, looking into the next decade, what things should we be concerned about losing in the church? And he answered, one of the things we are in danger of losing is courage. I suspect there will be a great call for real courage to be a witness to Jesus Christ. That's it, he said. That's my one answer to that question. So Acts 4 is really, really contemporary in significance. The world around us wants Christians to shut up. Keep your faith to yourself. But if we are silenced, this will be a disaster for them. Our generation needs Christ and his salvation from his judgment as much as any. So we need to pray together for power to proclaim. So how does God respond to such a prayer? Well, it's the last verse of our reading, 31. After they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. In Psalm 2, God laughed. Well, here the room was shaken, and I wonder if we are meant to imagine God laughing at this basically puny gathering of world leaders against his people. But we are certainly meant to see that God answers with an almighty yes. The result of the prayer is power. They're filled afresh with the Holy Spirit. And that leads to proclamation. They speak God's word boldly, just as they asked for. This little prayer gathering proves to be more powerful than the great gathering of the world against Jesus. It was great to gather, especially to pray for Ukraine. But when was the last time that you or I gathered to pray when under pressure, or to pray, Lord, spread the gospel? I can remember it was in a former church when we gathered to pray about the then government's plan, the bill, Incitement to Religious Hatred. I wonder if you remember it. Legal experts said it would criminalize free proclamation of everything in our faith. So it was a big worry. And we gathered to pray in church. And some friends went to pray at Westminster. And none of the experts expected the government's plans to fail. But 15 of the government's MPs were campaigning in Scotland, and they just didn't bother to come back to Westminster. Even the Prime Minister didn't show up. And they lost the key vote by one. Our freedom to proclaim remained. Due to coincidences? Or was it a God incident in response to his people's prayer? So how should we today respond to Acts 4. I think if Christ was addressing us, he would say something like this: will you join together and pray for my kingdom to spread? Will you join together and pray for my kingdom to spread? If we don't heed Jesus' call, then maybe we'll need a crisis to bring us to our knees. More COVID, a worse war, or renewed government opposition. The first church is clearly teaching us that when there's a crisis, we need to gather to pray. That should be our first instinct. But surely, Jesus says, come together when there's not a crisis. But actually, when you think about it, the world facing God's judgment and needing his salvation is a crisis for them. And this should drive us to our knees. If you and I are not people who come together to pray, and I mean really pray, in church services or in growth groups or prayer meetings, then I would not be surprised if our Christian lives lack power, lack vitality, if they are fading, or if the Christian faith is just feeling a bit boring compared to in the past, or if we lack courage to proclaim. As James put it in his letter, you do not have because you do not ask God. But gathering to really pray, well, this is how God usually revives his church. Here's a quote attributed to Shakespeare, but I can't prove it's him. It says this: if an army marches on its stomach, a church marches on its knees. And such a church will not be like an ostrich or a hedgehog or a rhino when under pressure, but like a lion. It will have that same spirit that the pioneer missionary William Carey had when he addressed the Baptist Association in Nottingham in 1792 with these famous words: expect great things from God, attempt great things for God. And it lit a spark that produced the world's greatest missionary endeavors ever over the next 100 years. We are not in the age of the apostles, when God did the special miracles of Jesus on tap to tell the world he lives through them. But the passage in Acts surely challenges us to have higher expectations today than we often do. The last 2 years have been so tough, haven't they? Especially being distanced from one another. And we've had to be wise and do that for a time. But the time is coming, and for most of us, it has come to gather together again. And when they gathered, there was a fresh filling with the Holy Spirit. Do you want to miss out on what the Spirit is doing today? He is building, as we sing in our children's song, his people brick after brick into this amazing eternal temple. Do you want to enjoy being part of that, or languish on the ground like an unused piece of rubble? As the old hymn addresses us, you fearful saints, fresh courage take. The clouds you so much dread are big with mercy and shall break in blessings on your head. When under pressure, pray together to a powerful and proclaiming God for power to proclaim. And so may I finish with a warm invitation to do this. I was struck as I was preparing this. We have an opportunity this week to put this passage into practice and join with our brothers and sisters at Park Street Baptist Church. Normally it's just them that have the prayer meeting, but wouldn't it be great, and they would be delighted, if we joined them as well. What are you doing at 9:30 on Good Friday? If you're here in town, come and pray with our friends at the Baptist Church. Pray for our powerful proclaiming God to be at work as we have our outdoor service of witness and all through the Easter weekend. Great good news opportunities. What could be of greater importance for our world? I know of nothing else than getting this gospel out. So let's pray. I invite you to join us on Friday, and let's pray together now. Ye fearful saints, fresh courage take. The clouds ye so much dread are big with mercy and shall break in blessings on your head. O Lord, thank you for what we have seen of your glory and true nature today. Help us to grasp that and how each one of us may enjoy a true relationship with you. Lord, please help any with us today who've not yet come into such a relationship. And then help us all together to pray in good times and when under pressure for the spread of the kingdom of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.